All right, let's bring this meeting to order. It's the June 4th, 2019, Newburyport Conservation Commission meeting in Senior Community Center Boardroom. This meeting's being recorded. First item on the agenda, the approval of the May 21st, 2019 minutes. Any changes, suggestions?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed?
Do I vote on that?
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't here?
Yeah.
I did listen.
Okay. You did listen?
Yes.
Right answer. Okay, next item, do we have any Plum Island updates?
No.
Was it the 14th is the meeting?
Yes.
14.
14th is the next meeting.
See you there.
Yeah.
Yeah. DCR has done some work out there recently, putting in the posts for the new fencing at 61st Street and 69th Street. So people might notice that if they're out there, but otherwise, nothing new.
Okay. As we have no meeting agendas, get a motion to open the public hearings?
So.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay, first item is Michael Kane, Canton LLC, 341 Merrimack Street, notice of intent. They have requested a continuance to the 18th.
Motion to continue to June 18th.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. Next item is Nicole Young NATO, 6 Bain Lane, notice of intent.
Did you read the legal ad?
Hmm?
Did you ever read the legal ad?
No.
Okay. I'm Ian McNamee from Hancock Associates, excuse me. Information for you. I'm representing the applicant property owners. You get the green cards. Okay. I'm sorry that, I'm glad it's intimate setting here because I feel silly with a little plan like this, but we wanted to be efficient where we have to amend the Chapter 91 license to be one set of plans for both filings. What is proposed on the Merrimack River within title sections is adding two additional floats to the existing Chapter 91 licensed boardwalk and dock that are here. We do have a file number, if you get closer, if you want to see that.
No, we do have copies.
Okay, yeah, I've just not called up with the sections there. The DEP additional file number 151-1011. I will be requesting a continuance this evening because we will be revising the anchor system. And I won't spend much time on the specifics of what we have on here. But we received a letter from National Heritage Endangered Species Program, which I realize was not copied to you, Julia, so I'll send this to you tomorrow.
Okay.
It wasn't a letter, excuse me, it was an email from Ms. Ann Merrill. And they're asking for us to revise the bottom anchor floats so that there's less turbidity during foraging for Atlantic sturgeon and short-nosed sturgeon, two endangered species, state endangered species that are mapped in that section of the river.
What do they want you to do?
They want us to come up with what they call a conservation-type mooring or a low-impact mooring, and they sent us a link to this guidance. And it's basically so that the chains, every time the tide comes and goes, won't store up turbidity. They're not concerned about I can read you what they say here very quickly. So based on review of the information provided, information currently contained in our database, the proposed dock will occur within the habitat of short-nosed sturgeon and Atlantic sturgeon, both state listed as endangered species pursuant to Massachusetts Endangered Species Act. I'll skip ahead in that part. That's just telling us where we can get the fact sheets about them. Installation of the floats are not likely to significantly impact the sturgeon passage or place individual sturgeon at risk during installation. So we do not feel that adherence to a specific time of year installation is necessary. However, to avoid long-term impact to the foraging habitat, the use of helical anchors in low-impact mooring systems, conservation moorings, are required. Conservation moorings help eliminate the daily sediment resuspension and habitat degradation associated with chain moorings while still offering adequate holding power. Therefore, the project shall be modified to include the use of flexible, low-impact mooring systems that prevents the bottom chain from dragging along with helical anchors. If you can send me the revised plans by June 10th, I should be able to issue a determination within the 30-day streamlined review period of the notice of intent and in the notice of intent in the Massachusetts Endangered Species Act. So,
So these coil chain up instead of just sitting to the bottom, or is that?
I have an example of another one that we've done where it's got a cone of resistance around it. We'll be adding plants. It's basically so the chains are protected within a flexible cone. Instead of being directly on the sediment.
Yeah.
And so I should have started with, there's two floats that are proposed that are in ground here. There are many resource areas on this property, but the only one that the work is proposed in is what I termed land under ocean because of the tidal section of the Merrimack River. This one is a 6x10, and this one is a 8x10. He is getting a new boat, and he needs to have docking for a 60-foot, a 27-foot, and a 14-foot boat. So that's...
One per 60-foot?
Yes. I don't know if that's the new one or which is the new one, but... So we calculated 20 square feet for these areas of work in land under ocean. And so now it's a matter of getting a revised plan into natural heritage based on that document that they sent us, and I have some other examples. And then they will write their letter to say that it's not going to constitute a take. It won't be an adverse effect under estimated habitat under the Wetlands Protection Act. I may take the draft plans and send them to them before I submit them on the 10th just to make sure we've got it right. But that's about as simple as this is.
I just had one question.
Yes.
It talks about a half-inch chain is what...
I believe the chain size will be staying the same. It's just that it'll be protected in a cone that it won't be able to drag on the bottom.
Yeah.
There was one typo in the project description that spoke about the anchor pins. It was supposed to say four foot by 1.5 rods, but it said four inch by 1.25 inch rods. So I wanted to clarify that.
Well, I was just curious if a half inch chain was strong enough to hold the dock.
Well,
I mean, I'm not an engineer.
Yeah, this
so
design came from their marine contractor, Jay Knapp and Sons Marine Services, is who gave us this original design that is, you know, this is only sheet. Four of six. There were six sheets that were submitted as part of this. It's just sort of showed the plan view. So he did review that, and you know, when obviously he's aware that there's quite a tidal exchange there, strong tide pull.
Just half inch didn't seem like it was.
But I will take a note of that, and I'll revisit that with him.
I don't.
He's not low side, but.
Well, strong currents, though, too.
I mean, you're talking dollars different. I mean, it's very little as far as material different. But.
Okay.
Well, if there's a limit to chain size with that envelope, that cone.
Could you show that again, that cone thing?
Sure.
I'm curious about that, too. Would it be standing up right when the tide goes down?
This is one we're considering. I'm not sure if we're completely going with that. I understand that there's several ways to get at the purpose that they're describing.
Okay, but this isn't really a cone.
Right.
It's just showing the resistance.
That's you're absolutely right.
So it's a helical anchor.
That's the helical anchor.
Yeah.
Are you talking about an actual physical cone that comes up?
No, I
thought that like the chain was sort of coming
out
of
a
cone.
Sounded interesting. But
yeah.
This is just a helical anchor.
Yeah, I don't see how that would prevent turbidity, though.
Yeah.
Well, I think you can go with a shorter chain for one thing.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have all the answers on it. I've got to go back to our engineer, the marine contractor. But I just know that we will be revising it, and I'll get Natural Heritage's informal blessing before we come back in. And I have skimmed that document, but honestly, I have not read all of it.
Okay.
So I have some more work to do.
What is mean low water on this?
Mean low water is zero.
No, that's mean low.
Mean low, okay. Mean low. Sure.
I guess the reason I'm asking is because I'm trying to figure out if this is going to bottom out.
Right. Right.
At Mean Low Water.
Let's see, shoot.
Well, they're extended further out into the river, right? That 6x10 float, it pushes the whole thing farther out.
Yeah,
so
that's probably a good reason.
That's right, okay.
It
now
might
I mean,
have bottomed out.
Yeah,
maybe.
I don't have Mean Low in here, but Mean High High and Mean Low
think
Low.
They need a bigger, they need to be out further with more depth for the size of boat. That
right.
They
right.
Have.
Yeah.
So Mean Low Low is back here in the blue.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're extending out beyond that.
Yeah, okay.
Into the river.
Yeah.
Because I certainly don't think they want a 60-foot boat
feet.
Sitting on the
sand. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So they're further in. Yeah. So that's okay.
Do you want Mean Low added to the plans?
I mean, I don't know if it has to be, but it'd be helpful, I guess,
okay,
to see it.
I thought you had to on Chapter
really?
91 license
Maybe.
Plan.
Yeah, I think you do too. We haven't filed with Chapter 91 yet because we want to have our order conditions.
Yeah. Okay. Then you'd have to do it anyway, so I might as well put it on the same
yep.
line.
Yep,
okay.
Not a problem.
Okay. Mean Low Low. Oh, right. Okay.
Is this something the commission would be interested in doing a sidewalk on?
You want to go out and see it?
I'm going to be gone for a month and see.
I mean, given that it's you're not impacting bank or any of
right.
the other resource
Salt
areas,
yeah,
I think it's enough to know that it's being approved by National Heritage in terms of the material.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I wouldn't mind seeing the 60-foot boat. But.
Yeah,
we'd put a ride on it.
We see from the water side.
Do you know now what they do in the winter with the floats and what they're intending to do?
I saw a picture that I'll have to look back in our files. I can bring it, that they take them and they put them up on the land, although, as you know, most of the land is within wetlands jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
Land subject to coastal storm flow, which is elevation 9.
Yeah.
There's salt marsh out there. There's, let's see, what sheet shows that best? There's a coastal restriction line as well that we've added to the plans. But I will find out the answer to that and provide photographic documentation. I saw a picture that our surveyors, Cheetah, 3 of 6 shows the resource areas on the property. So it's really just, there's like this little island that there are good sized houses on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll have to make sure that it's on upland areas. It's gonna be certainly in buffer zones.
Yeah.
I guess the important question is how do they get it there?
Yeah.
Because if they're chewing up the marsh.
Great question.
That's
mm-hmm.
not good.
No.
Yeah. Okay, I'll find out.
Bring a cream in.
Yeah.
What?
Bring a cream in.
Yeah, right. I don't think so.
I wonder what kind of equipment they use to get them up there.
Yeah, that too.
Okay. Somebody came in here that took their floats some other place, like a marina or something.
A lot of people do that.
That's what it was. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, as I started at the beginning, I'd like to request a continuance. I think if Natural Heritage is able to do what they said, to issue their letter within the 30-day period, we should receive the letter, or they should be issuing it by the 16th, a day or so before your next meeting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you want to aim for the 18th?
Yes.
And then see what happens.
Yeah, we should continue.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Can you vote on that?
Yep.
A motion to continue to the 18th.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Do the motions on the Zenpel stuff.
Oh, Zenpel, yeah, okay. So we're
not opening, but we're We're sort of like stating about the continuance to.
They use the term.
Yeah. To postpone the.
Good evening.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night. I know they used the term. What was it?
Any idea what the term would be?
What?
You're a legal guy.
What's, I don't know what the discussion.
We're not going to open up the NAPEL tonight.
Yeah.
So, and they used the term, they needed something because the next meeting would be outside the 21 days.
Right.
21 days of what?
So they, once the application is submitted, there's 21 days for the commission to open a public hearing.
Okay.
And because, so the reason why they, sort of we discussed continuing and they agreed to continue is, or not to open the hearings tonight, is because we've got these three applications, two of which require a variance, but there was no variance request, one of which didn't come with a plan, that needs a plan, and the other application is fine, but they also haven't gone on and checked with zoning. So, and it's significant.
Sounds like they're not ready.
So they thought they were ready because their plan was to come to us first, and we had met with them 6 months ago and a year ago. Their understanding was that they needed to come to conservation first in order to make sure that it was approvable, given that they needed variances and things like that before they went through the process of going to zoning. But at some level, that stuff has to happen concurrently because we need to know that it's even approvable under zoning, and they do need variances, but the applications didn't come with variance requests. So there's no way for us to even handle that. So and then given that the commission has five members tonight, two of whom won't be at the next meeting, and we're sort of unsure as to whether or not they'd have a quorum. Dan wasn't here quite yet. So we thought, all right, play it safe, make sure that we have at least five members at the next meeting and that they can get the plan in that is missing. And hopefully also the two requests for variances that they need. And then simultaneously they can go in and check with, get their zoning review done. And then we can open the hearings at the next meeting. Problem is that that's beyond this 21-day threshold.
Withdraw and resubmit.
Well, they don't want to have to do that because they don't want to have to re-notify all the abutters. So they would have just opened the hearing, had us open the hearings tonight. But they said, well, what you can do is you can just say, because it's a public meeting, that the applicant and the commission agree to open the hearings at, you know, a later date past the 21 days.
Yeah.
I don't know what the motion, the wording
well,
of that motion
in,
is.
In terms of the 21 days, though, is, I mean, are there abutters that could object? Will we be issuing, if we ultimately issue an order, will it be a good order?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a delay in opening the hearing, essentially. And no one's here tonight.
It doesn't seem like anybody was terribly concerned.
Well, not among them, but...
Well, at this point, all we have is what Julia just mentioned as far as what they're looking for. Maybe we can just make a motion out of that.
I mean, the only thing is that they could say, they would be the ones who would object and say, you didn't open a hearing within 21 days, and therefore we get our permit. But...
Well, I mean, we're a long way from knowing whether we're going to issue a permit anyway.
Right.
I mean, I guess I'm okay with opening it outside, beyond the 21-day period.
I think somebody mentioned they needed to send a notice to us that they're good with opening on the 18th.
Yeah, I think we should get something from them before we do that. And it's their risk, I guess. If the permit is challengeable, maybe DEP would challenge it. Who knows?
So hold on. What's 21 days from the day they submitted? They submitted this on the 24th of May for this meeting.
Yes,
so that would mean that 21 days 14. Would be the 14th. Our meeting's on the 18th.
I mean, you're spending a lot of money on this. Notifying the butters, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's a chore, but I mean, it's not a big deal. I don't see why they're setting that up as a rationale for doing something that's challengeable. But
Well, it wasn't them setting it up. It was us suggesting that they had more work to do on the applications.
Right, and, which they do.
Right.
Yeah.
We're not going to issue a permit if we don't aren't satisfied with what we get.
Right.
Can we open the hearing and then just continue it, even though they're not here?
Yeah, we can open the hearing and continue it. But then we've got five people.
I'm not going to be here on the 18th.
You're not going to be here on the 18th.
Right.
Steve's not going to be here on the 18th, but
so
you
so
will.
So only three of us are going to be.
Which leaves three.
Maybe.
But we won't have had a presentation. All we're doing is continuing it.
Yeah,
right.
But still, right, which it's, you know.
But it's opened.
It's been opened, and these people
so
are.
So the 18th, they might not even be ready by the 18th, right? Given the amount of work they have to do to get ready.
Yeah, I think that they should be able to hopefully put that all together.
I mean, if it gets continued again, the next meeting is early July.
Or at a certain point, they could say the commission needs to open the hearing because the files have been submitted and we haven't opened a hearing. You'd have to open the hearing and deny the project or they would have to just give the presentation and start. And there would be continuances and things like that.
I guess one concern I have is if we open the hearing and then continue it, open a hearing right away and then continue it, and then people don't come to the next. I mean, we're going to end up with two people entitled to vote at the end of the day.
Right, and that was my concern, was we're going to have enough people.
Although, let's say we opened it tonight. There's five of you here, right? Just, okay, a couple of you won't be at the next meeting. Would you be at the July meeting?
That's where I was going.
Yeah.
I was wondering whether we...
You won't be. Will you, Joe?
I will be.
You'll
at
the
July
meeting.
The first
July
meeting, yeah. Actually, both July meetings.
It's July 2nd.
I have no plans not to be.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I'll be here.
I would assume Paul might as well.
So what we might do is open the hearing
tonight. Because in some ways, five is a good number for us.
Yeah, we might open the hearing tonight and then be prepared to continue it on the 18th if, you know, it looks like it's shaky.
The other issue is that we told them we weren't going to open a meeting. We weren't going to open it tonight. And they were good with delaying until the 4 days after the,
well,
you know.
But I think that's...
I think opening it within the 21-day period is preferable to opening it deliberately outside the 21-day period.
I do too, now that we're thinking about this, because especially since at the next meeting, we know that the two of you won't be here, so we're already back at five people, no matter what, and that doesn't include who else might not be at the next meeting. So it could be, at the most, we'll have five at the next meeting.
There's a lot of ifs going on here. What if we just made a motion to waive the 21 days?
We can't, because it's actually the applicant. It's the applicant's right to the hearing within 21 days.
But they've agreed.
They've agreed to waive.
But we don't have anything in writing.
No.
Well, why don't we just ask them for that?
I could just, yeah. Do that?
Yeah, we definitely should ask them.
All right.
I mean, they verbally have agreed to it. So there's no reason why
they just
have to. So if we do something like that and ultimately open the hearing outside the 21-day rule and DEP challenges it, then it's just on them. They have to withdraw and resubmit.
Yeah. But they're...
And I don't know why DEP would challenge it.
Yeah,
who knows why DEP does anything?
DEP would have challenged it, but I think the way the regulations state is that the applicant is assumed to get the permit if there's no hearing within 21 days.
Ooh.
They are the ones who...
Ooh, I don't...
If they don't give us something in writing, DEP will be fine with it.
Yeah,
and they're not going to get challenged.
If they don't agree to extend it beyond the 21 days in writing, then we will just have to hold an emergency public hearing.
So what do we need to do tonight, if anything? We're not going to open the hearing.
Yeah, I don't think anything.
Just ask them
So we ask them to provide. I don't want to agree to open it outside the 21-day rule unless they've asked for it.
Right.
Yeah,
which they did. They did verbally.
But they need to. Yeah, but they need to do it right.
I think they know
okay.
they do too.
Weird.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot done tonight.
I know.
Well, this is three projects that we don't have to deal with tonight.
Yeah, but next meeting, and then you guys are gonna be here at the next meeting, so thanks.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be here either.
Life is good.
Okay.
So we are not, we will not be opening.
So I'll move that we not open, if we need a motion of any sort, I'll move that we not open a hearing on these projects.
Okay.
So those would be 5 Stanley Tucker Drive, 3 Stanley Tucker Drive, and 17 Malcolm Hoyt.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
And it's just to add to that, that it's based on, for the record, that it's based on the incompletion of certain parts of the applications as well as the potential lack of quorum at upcoming meetings.
Okay.
And that we're also asking the applicant to follow up on this.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're still waiting for Boston Whitney.
Oh, I haven't called them yet.
Yeah, you think they're out there?
I saw somebody else.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Come in. Next item is Louis Minicucci, Jr., 3 Boston Way. Somebody moving? Okay.
I'm Rich Kirby from LEC Environmental, and we filed the abbreviated notice of resource area delineation for 3 Boston Way that you have before you. And we filed this ANRAD to determine all the confirm all the resource area boundaries associated with the site. This is the property here. North is to the left. It's in the southeastern portion of town. I'm sure the commission's familiar with the site. 1 Boston Way, which is an active construction site, is just to the north. The MBTA parking area is to the south. The MBTA commuter rail runs along the eastern property boundary, and we have undeveloped scrub shrubland to the west. So this is the site here. It's generally a previously developed site. There's 2 structures on there. The northern structure is occupied by an ambulance service. It's surrounded by pavement. You can see the pavement edge in the dark gray here. And this structure is occupied by a landscape service. And we have a gravel parking area here, along with some material storage that I've colored in gray, some boulders, and a wood pile over here. There are bordering vegetated wetlands that occur along the periphery of the site, namely along the eastern and southern property boundaries. It's an emergent marsh dominated by cattail, phragmites, the occasional patch of sensitive fern, European buckthorn. And we also have a series of stormwater swales that are on the property that direct stormwater runoff that primarily sheet flows from the pavement and directs it to the system that's located on 1 Boston Way. The one here along Boston Way, again, Boston Way is to the west. This one actually has some wetland vegetation in it, and this section here is grass. And while we haven't finalized any sort of development plans for the project yet, it's our intention to improve this stormwater retention area or detention area here as part of the project. So we'll be revegetating that with some wetland plants, removing some of the invasives that are there now. We also have a bit of land subject to storm flowage on the property. It occurs at elevation 10. It's outlined here in dark blue. That's per the FEMA map and the site survey, which was done in the same dam. And that's really it. It's 2.1 acres. And we're seeking confirmation of the resource areas as delineated. We did have an opportunity to get to the site with the conservation agent and reviewed the delineation. She had recommended we make some modifications, pulling the line further away in places, and we made that in this plan, made those changes in this this plan reflects those changes. So we'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have. The ANRAD does get a little bit into the history of the permitting on this site and the stormwater swales. It includes a series of photographs that provide, you know, good imagery of what the site looks like from different directions. And I'm happy to discuss further with you any of those items.
Just out of curiosity, what sort of development do you think?
I don't think they've gotten too far along. I think they want to redevelop the site. Obviously, there's a lot of opportunity here with this. The red line is the 25-foot no disturbance zone. We have a lot of disturbance in the no disturbance zone currently.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an opportunity there to do some restoration, again, improve some of the existing grassed areas. This portions of these stormwater swales haven't been maintained very well over time, so they're not functioning the way I think they were intended. And this, conversely, this section is maintained as lawn currently, so we'd be looking to vegetate that. But Scott Cameron is coaching his soccer team at the moment. He's on his way. I'm not sure what time he'll be here, but he can talk a little bit more about the proposed development.
Can go out for a site visit if you'd like. We can do that. I was out there a couple weeks ago with these guys, and it's the wetland areas, because the site is so already developed, wetland areas are pretty easily defined out there. Just the area in the back behind the buildings where there's some lawn that you can see on the pictures, we pulled the line back a little bit because the soils are so wet and showed some signs of hydrology. And just to be on the conservative side, we've sort of...
Oh, so you moved it further out.
We moved it further out,
okay.
So it's a little bit more conservative than it was. It was tight along the vegetation line, and we moved it out into the lawn area. But other than that, it was a very straightforward, I felt comfortable with the way they had delineated it. Yeah, it's very heavily disturbed and mostly paved in gravel, except around the periphery. My understanding also is that because this is the same entity that owns One Boston Way that did this ANRAD, I don't believe I think this is not closed on the property yet, correct? So they haven't purchased.
I don't believe so. I think the intention was to file this ANRAD rather quickly, so we could get ideally a determination from the commission in advance of that closing, which I think is happening any day now.
Okay. And then because the same firm would own both sites, that there would be, it would allow them some flexibility that someone else might not have to do some better stormwater management, more efficient stormwater management in the areas between the two sites.
Hmm. As an example, there's a stormwater swale on the One Boston Way property over here. And there's one on this property here on 3 Boston Way. And in between, there's a berm that separates the two. So removing that berm would allow for a larger stormwater management area. It would allow for some additional revegetation with native plants. As an example, I know we had talked about that a little bit when we were out at the site.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
site visit. I'm sure we'll be out there for a site visit, Brandon, if you want to develop it.
Right. There's not a whole lot to see, other than some opportunity to make it better with the redevelopment, which I know the commission will be looking for.
So you're suggesting that when you come back, all those areas in the no disturb zone, it'd be improvements that you...
We're definitely looking to improve those areas and pull back some of the material storage and things that the landscape crew, the landscape company has been using. They're outgrowing their space, it looks like. So the short answer to that is yes. Obviously, the extent and the way and methods that we employ to do that are still under consideration. But I think certainly me and Scott are familiar with the commission and what you'll be looking for.
Okay. So, just a side question. So when this lot is purchased, assuming the purchase sales goes through, is the landscaping company going to be leaving?
I don't know if the current tenants will remain until the redevelopment plan is approved and implemented. At that point, they'll probably be given notice that they need to vacate the site so they can get underway with the construction. I'm not sure what the timeline is for that.
Might be a little while given the amount of planning board and other kind of permitting.
There's a little bit of permitting that has to get done, yes, and it depends on how quickly a design is finalized, mm-hmm. and then implemented and then permitted. Mm-hmm. So, not in the near future.
Okay. I'm concerned about what the landscaping company is doing in the 25-foot no disturb zone.
It's a mess out there.
The good news is that there doesn't appear to be much, if any, sedimentation coming off because the area is so flat within the marsh. And I think now that the site has been flagged, they're aware that there's a wetland there and that they're really shouldn't be getting any closer to it than they already have. So,
I'm a little confused in the drawing you have there and the drawing that we have.
Okay.
Is that the same? It's
you've received a couple different drawings. That is the drawing from the 1989 approval.
Oh, okay.
That we referenced in the ANRAD.
So the drawing that you have with this project, which one is that?
It's the last one in the packet, in the pocket.
See, that's what I even have.
You have.
Or maybe a reduced, okay, so they gave you a reduced copy. Okay. But it should be the last one in the application.
Oh, wait, very last page.
It's the very last.
Right.
No, you're
good enough. Yeah, you don't have that. It must have come off.
Yeah.
Yeah, here, you can look at
my. Oh, well, that's okay. I can see that one. I just thought that there was a discrepancy.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah, yep. No, that's it.
So the 19, they included the 1989 one, if I'm right, because it shows the original permit for the development of the site, which shows that front area was created specifically for stormwater management.
Yeah, I think these maps are separate, because I stapled mine onto it.
Yeah. I'm going to staple it to just that.
David, I don't believe you don't remember the map you signed up on.
Yeah. Can't believe that.
Appropriate motion? Are we approving the NRAD?
An ORAD?
An ORAD. Mm-hmm. Or a resource area delineation?
We're issuing an ORAD?
We're issuing an ORAD.
Okay.
For an NRAD.
Motion to issue an ORAD for an NRAD.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks. And tell Scott to just skip it.
Yes, I will. I'll
turn around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Motion to close the public hearings?
We have something to sign.
Oh, yeah.
Leaving that motion for now.
Okay. Motion to close the public hearings?
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Last item is enforcement violations. Tom McGee in Department of Public Services, 115 Water Street, Merrimack. Water Street, Merrimack Street?
Water Street. I don't know why it's, that's just a mistake. Sorry about that.
115 Water Street.
Yes, 115 Water Street.
Right. So my wife was on the plane where I know she wasn't really agave drinking margaritas like I thought she was. This is a little bit much. Tom McGee, I am here on, I was hoping that the department was going to show, and like the emails I received over the past 12 months, they haven't been too frequently returned. And so what I did is I just put together a list of the emails that showed how everything progressed. I've been working with Julia since I got a phone call from Andy, which was kind of vague, and had said basically, hey, we might have a trouble with the parking lot. And I said, okay, what does that mean? And I had all the backup emails and had touched base, or I thought had followed the procedure that was laid out for me. And so immediately reached out to Julia, had conversations, a couple of FaceTime videos to show the site. And so here I am. She asked me to put together kind of what had happened and transpired to come and meet with you all and hopefully resolve any issues that there might be, if any. And so the property is owned by the city. It's the old building on the rail trail down by the water treatment facility. The old garage, I believe it's been everything from a limousine service to a boat yard. I didn't realize that I was going to have an option for giant pictures. So I put together a few, I didn't make seven of them in an effort to conserve paper. But basically what I have is, I reached out on, this has been a long process. So I signed the lease with the city almost back in June of 2018. On 9/27 of 18, after going through kind of the whole presentation to the city and what we plan on doing, the property went up for an RFP. My company won the RFP to come in and renovate the property. So I signed a 60-year lease with the city. We're investing probably close to $1 million. When all is said and done into renovating this building and the area, moving my company in Amesbury here. I'm from Newburyport, so we wanted to bring our employees back over, and so we started the process. And throughout it, we were dealing with the mayor and then Andy Port. And one of the things is, when we inherited the property, it was if you aren't familiar with it, this was the best thing that I found, and when we talked, is that there was a park area, that there was asphalt already there, and when Tony Fennari came down for the meeting, looked at it and basically said, okay, if you're scraping the old asphalt and not changing the drainage or any of the other stuff, and you're just gonna resurface it, you should be fine. On the existing property, there's also a I apologize, I'm not the legal lawyer guy, so I don't know the culvert area behind that the city has put in. And but what Tony said is to dig an 18-inch trench along the base of it with rock riprap, I guess they call it, and fill that for the drainage system at the bottom. And so that's what we did. And so here's kind of this was the only picture I had that was basically from the article that the newspaper did. Here is existing after we had scraped it. I'll pass these around there. Those were, and I showed Julia via FaceTime as well in color, the asphalt remnants that was left behind by the crew that did the asphalt, pushed it underneath the deck. And then here's some photos here, and I'll also open up that. Here's others that I found that was in the RFP that showed the asphalt there that was in front of not only the garages but out in the open area. AYC had built a fence there, and they were storing some boats on top of it for a while with the city. So on 9/27, I reached out to Andy, basically saying, "Hey, we're looking at the parking lot now and looking to resurface it." He basically said, "I will defer to Tony and DPS on any particular concerns they may have. In the interim, as a reminder, you must coordinate site work with DPS, particularly anything involving excavation for utilities or impact on the existing pavement, etc." Which I did. So then I reached out, CC'd Wayne Kapalua, who I believe is now gone to West Newbury, maybe. Or
yeah, Wayne. It wasn't Wayne Kapalua.
Not Wayne
Kapalua. He's from Wayne Emerald.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Wayne, Jamie, Chris at the water treatment.
Yeah.
And so here's kind of the email conversation, basically saying, "Hey, can we meet down at the site?" We met down with the potential people that were going to bid. They suggested I use New England Paving because the city uses New England Paving. They were interested in repaving in front of the garage bays, which the city maintains still. And at the time when we were going to do this, he said, "We don't have the budget. Can you wait until April to do this till we get more budget?" So that's kind of the trail on that. So we met, they came down, Tony gave us the deal. In between then, as we spoke, you asked if Tony would vouch that he had indeed done this.
Yeah.
He sent an email. I sent another email where, you know, following that now, we're in April, basically saying, "Tony, we're in the process of getting the site graded and paved. Was talking to Sam at New England Paving. You had told me to hold off till spring. Do you guys want to do this?" And basically, Tony called back and said, "We don't have the budget right now to redo it, and so don't do ours." And that was pretty much kind of how the whole thing went down. So there's more copies of really bad photos. Here is black and white, but I'll pass around my iPad to show you the existing of what it looks like.
Gave us this one already.
Did I give you that one? My apologies. I wanted to send you.
Yeah, so, and just to remind you guys how sort of it came to the commission was that we didn't know that it was being paved, we're uncertain as to whether or not there was permission for it to be paved. And there's a small portion of this parking lot that's in the riverfront area and in the flood zone, but just a small, it's this corner, yeah. So
yeah.
Here's the wastewater treatment plant, right? Here's the building. There's a corner right here that's in the riverfront area. And the rest of it's really outside of our jurisdiction, and it was already disturbed and like crumble pavement and sort of gravel and hard pack. And right here is a swale that when Mr. McGee went and talked with Tony Fornari about paving it, which is allowed for in the 60-year lease or the 99-year lease, whatever it is you have with the city, allows for paving, but you have to coordinate with DPS, and that's what Andy had recommended. He did coordinate with DPS, and Tony told him to, as long as he didn't change the grade, that it was okay, and to put in this stormwater treatment swale. and that's what they did. It's just that notice wasn't given to the planning office and the conservation commission. But essentially, nothing was done that wouldn't have been allowable. And in fact, improvements were made to the existing stormwater treatment. So that's sort of the situation. And Tony did concur with that and said that he had met with Tom. They talked about doing the work.
He was going to come tonight and apparently
did not come tonight. But Tony has sort of, you know, acknowledged all this as well.
So essentially, I'm just here to hopefully clear it up somehow with you guys. And Julia just said to come down and share exactly what happened. And we were hoping, I think as we spoke that one day, we were hoping that Tony remembered it as we did. And
yeah.
And so we have the swell there. We do have more rock that we can add more rock to it. We obviously want to landscape and put some greenery and shrubbery out there as well.
So the swale is on the riverside of the parking area, the paved parking area?
It's on the rail trail side. Here's a better picture for you, but so here's the rail trail right here. As it goes, the AYC Yacht Club's over here, and we dug this down 18 inches. And so in between here and here is just existing gravel and pretty much weed, and then this is I guess what they would call riprap rock that they put into the swells. And so that goes off there. We underneath the building has been basically not maintained in probably about 22 years, so a lot of the tide would come in and wash out the underneath, and the building's based on or built on stilts. And so we had to put some riprap down underneath because the cold air has frozen the pipes.
So has your lease begun?
So we've been, the lease was signed last June.
All right. So we're
ready to move in.
Okay.
And we're not moved in yet. We haven't, the occupancy is not.
Right, but you're the tenant. You're
yes, sir. Yes.
Okay.
So you're planning on landscaping that gravel area? Or?
So we plan on landscaping in here or just cleaning it up but we didn't want to do anything further. We stopped everything until we met with you folks, and then to find out. We have some extra smaller gravel here to put in front. So to also, there is gravel underneath there and kind of sand pack and everything from, there is asphalt and old stuff in there. So we've tried to clean up a lot of that broken concrete. But obviously we're not, we all know kind of why we don't want to do any excavation over there. I think the rail trail has made that very clear. And so all we were going to do here is just put down just regular smaller gravel right there. And then that was the swell, unless you guys thought it needed any additional drainage.
Is that your snow storage area, or do you have a separate area?
That's the snow storage area.
That is your
snow storage. That was recommended, yeah. So there's curbing here. But there's nothing here, so the snow storage area would be down there. And it's about, get a different angle for you. I mean, that's about how the length of it.
So that's going to affect what you can do in terms of landscaping. If you're going to be putting all your snow on it, you know, shrubs aren't going to survive.
Yeah, I don't know that I think it would be tough to plant there just because you have the rail trail trees. We already have to try to figure out how to maintain this. We are taking this on for the city to keep the weeds down and weed whacking.
So where does your property, where does your lease end, and where does the city, the rail trail, they must have at least an easement for that. Is that your property where the rail trail is? Or?
No, it's, so it's just right. I mean, the rail trail goes there, and then it crosses over to a sidewalk. So our property is just the border there. And then we have this one garage bay, and then the city's maintaining three garages. And we actually paved that for the city for free. So it was
Your lease doesn't include those city garages, or no?
It's complicated. It does, but it does. So the answer is yes, it does, but only if I replace those three existing bays for the city at some other location. And when I need it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what are they using for?
Nothing.
They're concerned about losing garage storage.
Yeah, and I think they're also worried because there's the conversation about the electric company behind it eventually being auctioned off and sold to a hotel group possibly is one rumor. I know David Hall is interested in that property behind as well, so they're worried about an easement on that side. They've got, I know the one thing that we have too, by the way, is the parking lot is used for off-street parking for people on the south side for snow days. So we'll plow that and maintain it. Currently, that's never been used, but in our deal, we said absolutely cars can park off-street. So before they had like a little dirt patch over by the apartments on the south side that a few cars were pulling to, and then the parking spots that the water treatment facility has. They have about 8 spots down there that they allow. And so when we did the thing, we said, sure, as long as cars are out of there by, you know, hopefully 8:30-ish by the time people come to work. Okay. And so, so the property line is just, I mean, it stops to where the natural, where it was anyway. And there was a fence that came out to here that the AYC had boats stored in. So the AYC had about an 8,000 square foot fence around that they stored boats in with the city.
I don't know. If we were to go out there and look, would that be helpful in terms of understanding who controls what and in the way of site improvements, if any, what the applicant can really do or not do? It's just, I'm still confused by it.
So, I mean, I guess I can just say I've been out there before it was paved, and I've been out there now since it's been paved. And the area that was paved was an area that had been previously paved.
Sure. Yeah, I get that.
And it was approved by Tony Vernari, and it's allowed for in the license. It's just that, you know, we didn't know about it.
But, for example, Julia, you mentioned in your notes of the possibility of adding some trees.
Right. I see what you're saying. Is there anything else they
where would they
do?
Be? Whose land is that? Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know?
Remember that strip of green, or not, it's not even green, it's just dirt, or it's not vegetated.
Yes.
And it's not part of the sort of stone swale, and it's not part of the parking lot. That was an area that could be planted.
Is that part of the snow storage area?
But I think that might be. Is that in the snow storage area or no?
It would not be. So the original intention was, so right here where the curbing is.
Yeah.
If you look, I'm trying to see if we can see. Okay, so if you look at what the city's done right here, on the other side, they just sloped down some dirt and they planted 3 trees. So we were going to mirror what the city did and just have the dirt slope down. So it's still dirt, and then the AYC has a gravel driveway, and just plant 3 matching trees to match what the city has. And then also in our lease, not to confuse it even further, the mayor likes to kayak, and she would like to have the ability to put a kayak rack there someday. And so we wrote that in there.
Oh, good. The mayor's kayak.
Yes. And so so it's in there. It's in there.
Memorial kayak rack.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And it may be a memorial kayak rack because it's pretty dangerous putting a kayak in right there where it's ripping by the AYC. And so, when we talked about it, we talked about planting the 3 trees there and landscaping that.
And that wouldn't interfere with the snow storage area?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
Because the AYC, they don't plow down that. They don't plow down that road during the winter at all.
Yeah.
It would be completely the opposite.
And the purpose of the trees, Julia, would be
issue? Because it's the area of the site that's closest to the riverfront area, if not within the riverfront area, and there's only a small portion of the site that is.
Yeah.
So it would be actually doing some mitigation within an area under the commission's jurisdiction where currently and previously there had been nothing of any value. Yeah, I mean, just to also, because it's such a wide open site, just would be beneficial to everybody to have a couple trees.
And this is getting landscaped. All in front of here is getting like loam and like plantings. Like,
yeah, I mean the trees. Greenery and, the trees would be helpful to try and sort of help shade it, keep that asphalt from just becoming, you know, the oven that it, you know, it will be when the sun's shining in the summer. Mm-hmm. So I'm fine with that.
Yeah. And you're not concerned about rising sea level?
I mean,
60 year lease, 60 years.
So I'm in the footwear business, and so yes, I'm completely like I'm super passionate about it. Like my best friend is the guy that's like doing this charge right now to do 100% recyclable footwear. Adidas is the first company to do it, and it's insane. Yes, of course I am, but I'm praying I'll be long dead by then. I mean, hey, I signed a 60 year lease and I'm 53. So unless I find
family. So your daughter's just going to take it over.
Yes. Well, no, I'm only getting, the little guy's the only one helping me on the building at all. So the other two are out completely. Yeah. They get no choice whatsoever, but we are getting, I will say it is, we worked on this for close to 7 years with the mayor and kept going back and back and saying this building's just rotting away, and I encourage you all to come by and see it, because it's we're getting a lot of amazing compliments. Although I will say our big joke has been, we tell everybody it's going to be a marijuana dispensary, and then they all get mad that it's not when I say no, it's shoe design. They're like, oh shoot! I'm like, man, I'm in the wrong business.
Is there any other? Aside from the things we talked about tonight, is there anything else that you're planning to do to the area?
No. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, we already did.
No more paving. No.
Nothing.
More.
No. No. We had the city down. We had to put new electrical to it. So we paid for that. We had to put new sewer in. So fortunately, we were close enough to the sewer. Mm-hmm. So that's all new and updated. All new plumbing, all new insulation, all new windows. I mean, so it's all.
We're not like running new utilities.
No. No. Everything's.
Because you'd know to come to us if you did.
Now I do.
Tom, when would you anticipate planting the trees? Have you thought about that at all? Are you going to wait till the fall, or would you plan on doing that?
Yeah, I don't know. Good question. I mean,
The planting?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're so we just parted ways with our GC on Friday because this project should have been a 5-month project, and it's now going into month 12, and the electrical guys were there the other day and said long story short, it's just been a nightmare. And so right now we're trying to get occupancy so we can hopefully move the company in June. In July, and because our lease is up already in Amesbury, and so we're kind of negotiating. So I would hope probably like August, maybe if not sooner.
Yeah.
And we have the resources to do it. I mean, it's just
a matter of just for you, like if you plant them in the summer, you're just gonna have to be more
to water.
Right. Talk to the guys who are gonna put the plants in and ask them what they recommend in terms of when to put them in.
I mean, we can wait for sure. I was thinking more if you guys wanted it done like tomorrow.
Well, not
like,
if you just come and die.
No, we'd rather have them do well, be planted at the right time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, whatever they
think. That's what the gator bags are for. Yeah. The tree commission. I don't know if you want to drop a line in the tree commission. The ones, because it is city property. I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I better do that. Yeah.
And actually,
especially after this,
DPS as the tree warden,
mm-hmm.
Which used to be Wayne.
Yeah.
And so now I don't know who's taken over as the tree warden.
Someone did.
Jamie Tukolo is the new deputy director, but I don't know if he also took over Wayne's role as tree.
That name's familiar.
Jamie. Yeah. He might have, but I don't know that it's ever been his thing. So maybe reach out to Jamie about the trees and ask him who he should talk to about which trees get planted, the city property, and have the discussion about whether or not it should go before the tree committee to choose those and to...
So how would that just so I know now, to just like take one guy's email?
It's a different, the tree, I don't know, Joe's... wife is on the tree commission, but they don't operate, they're not a permitting entity, they don't have that kind of jurisdictional authority that something like this, this
board
does.
But they manage city trees and they may, you know, they may want to work with you on it.
Yeah, they might just say, hey, here's what we recommend, because we've really been wanting to plant these trees on city property, so.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brooklyn's not under.
And Jamie, oh, she's not, okay. But Jamie Tupelo at DPS should be able to guide you in the right direction on that. And you know what, if they're not interested in getting the tree commission involved, or if the tree commission isn't interested, then you could just do what you were planning to do before and plant the same trees that are adjacent.
And we'll, I mean, and we'll reach out. I'll CC you on it so you can make it.
Yeah, that, I think that's a good idea. Yeah, keep me on.
CYA.
Yeah. Yeah. Get everybody on, as many people on the email as you can. Yeah.
Perfect. That's what I thought I was doing.
I don't know.
Okay.
All right.
So there's no, we're not, right, there's no issue with the paving as it is, leave it, move on, just work on those, the trees, and off we go.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Me too.
Thanks, Julie. I appreciate all your help.
Have anything else?
I just want to say DPS should have known to have them come here.
Yeah.
You know, once again.
Just like DPS should have known about the shed on the land.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.